Here we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Friday, June the 21st, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. Isn't it pretty clear from the Bible that God loves us? We just have a few examples, including God is love. That's from 1 John 4:8. Then we have from Exodus 34, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands. Then we've got Psalm 86, verse 5. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. Then we have Psalm 86, verse 15. You, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth. There we have the two words I really enjoy, mercy and gracious. That God is merciful means he does not give us what we deserve, eternal damnation. And that he is gracious means he gives us what we don't deserve, the forgiveness of sins. Then, of course, you have John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Plus the very simple 1 Peter 5, verse 7. He cares for you. And that's just the tip of the biblical iceberg, that God really loves you. And yet, even as Christians, we oftentimes don't feel that God loves us. We have all these promises on biblical paper, but sometimes we don't sense his love. Sure, Scripture talks about salvation after the day of judgment, when we go to heaven. But what about right now? We are surrounded by tragedy. We are hurting now. We experience constant disappointments, apparently unanswered prayers, gratuitous tragedies, weaknesses, and of course, the failings of sin, with it all becoming at times overwhelming and soul-crushing. Maybe this is why Gordon Conwell, theology professor, wrote, "It is an item of faith that we are children of God, but there is plenty of experience in us and in our world against that." Ouch. There appears to be plenty of evidence that God does not love us. That's tough to read, but certainly relatable if we're honest, especially if you faced lots of horrors and disappointments around you. Just listen to Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel describe his experience. Never shall I forget that night, the first night in the concentration camp. Never shall I forget that smoke. Never shall I forget the little faces of children whose bodies I saw turned into wreaths of smoke beneath a silent blue sky. Never shall I forget those flames which consume my faith forever. Never shall I forget those moments which murdered my God and my soul and turned my dreams into dust. Now, you may not have members of your congregation that experienced the Holocaust, but they will tell you about experiences they have here on earth prior to Judgment Day that are really tough to take. So, when you see these things like that and look back on what the Bible says about God loving us, it can be a tough item to believe. After all, doesn't Scripture say, "Let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth"? 1 John 3:18. Okay, God, that's what you say. Let's see it now. When we sit in the blackness of our life for a long time, the mind and heart can easily dismiss his promises and leave us in a place where we think, "Yeah, sure, you say you love me, but there's nothing but words on a page." Boy, I wonder. YouTube has a number of movies, and many a time the movie starts off with a loved one who is either murdered or dies in a car accident or from sickness. And you can see the disappointment. In fact, there are many Reformed Jews who do not believe there is a God because of what happened in the Holocaust. They can't imagine that there is a God, and yet that happened against millions of Jews. So, something bad happens, and we quickly feel abandoned. Pretty much anything but loved. Now, that's a feeling that we find in the Bible. David felt it. Hear what he says in Psalm 69. "I have sunk in deep mire, and there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and a flood overflows me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes fail while I wait for my God." That's Psalm 69, verses 2 and 3. Can you identify with that feeling at times where you don't sense God's love? If so, Welcome to a biblical reality check. That's incredibly helpful and comforting. Yes, amazing good things happen to people in the Bible, and pretty bad things happen to them also, just like you and me today. Remember Elijah? Ahab, the king, so hated him and his wife Jezebel that Elijah had to flee. He ended up at a stream of water where ravens were sent by God in the morning and evening to feed him and water to drink. But then that brook dried up, and he was told to go to a place where a widow began to take care of him. She did not have enough food, and she was about to have her last meal, thinking that her and her son would then die from starvation. But the vessels that held the flour and food never emptied during the time of the drought. So she, her son, and Elijah were taken care of. You can imagine how happy she was. But then what happened? Her son became ill, and he died. Well, she was not happy with that. She blamed Elijah for bringing the death of God upon her son. She wondered if he had died because of a sin she had done. Elijah went to the boy, prayed to God, and the boy was raised from the dead. Wow. So there was something bad that happened. She quickly fell abandoned. Pretty much anything but love. So we need to look at the biblical reality. That is incredibly helpful. For example, we read, "For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah of David, and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. From weakness we were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women receive back their dead by resurrection." That is a Bible quote from Hebrews 11, verses 32 to 35. So we look at that and think, now, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I expect from God. But then our faith falls, as verse 35. We look at that, and we quickly transition to, "And others were tortured, not accepting their release, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And and others experienced mockings and scourgings. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world felt they are not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains, and caves, and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, apparently did not receive what was promised. That's Hebrews 11, verses 35 to 39. Who wants that? And it keeps going. How about God's chosen men? Paul, he was appointed apostle to the Gentiles. He evangelized the ancient world, writing most of the New Testament. What was Paul's daily life like? Well, we take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. He writes, "To this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty. We are poorly clothed. We are roughly treated. We are homeless. And we toil, working with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to conciliate. We have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now." Yikes. Who wants that life that Paul was experiencing? Because when you're against the world with a message of Jesus Christ, the world is going to put you down. And yet, Paul and the people cited in Hebrews 11, they did not fall away from the faith or stop trusting that God loved them. Even in times of severe temporal hurt and pain. Notice how that section in Hebrews 11 ends with, "And all these having gained approval through their faith." The ones who had mountaintop experiences, plus those who suffered in the valley. See, that's what faith is. Faith is trusting the promise, even though it appears not to be evident in our life. Through faith, though, we can stand firm, just like the prophets and the apostles did in the Bible. Many times, ancient Israel felt abandoned by God, just as we do. In Isaiah we read, "For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted." But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me." That's Isaiah chapter 49, verses 13 and 14. They, like us at times, were thinking the same thing about God's promises of love and deliverance. Yeah, sure. You say you love me, but that's nothing but words on a page. But an interesting thing happens. God answers their charge of abandonment. Listen to Isaiah 49, verses 15 and 16. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. That's Isaiah 49. Now, the word inscribed is an interesting Hebrew word. It literally means to hollow out and create a hole in something. Can you think of a time when God had his hand hollowed out for you and me to demonstrate the love he talks about for us tangibly? The second gospel in the New Testament says simply, and they crucified him. That's Mark 15, verse 24. That was a historical event and demonstrates his love for us is more than words on a page. And so, through those promises, we are able to look through every storm to the cross, because it's through the gospel that God shows you and me that he loves us. Now imagine being at the cross and seeing your Lord dying. You would not have the understanding, oh, look how much he loves his son. And yet that was an act of love. An act of love at the cross for you. That historical event shows his love for us. And so we're able to look through every storm to the cross, because it's through the gospel that God shows you and me that he loves us. Let's now return to Lovelace and give you his full quote on this subject. It is an item of faith that we are children of God, but there is plenty of experience in us against that. So the faith that surmounts this evidence and is able to warm itself at the fire of God's love instead of stealing love and self-acceptance from other sources is actually the very root of holiness. What does that mean? Well, if you take a look at what the world thinks, how God loves them, because they do good works and they're rewarded with salvation, that's wrong. We are not saved by obedience to the law. We are saved by Christ's obedience to his Father. Even Christ could endure the cross because of the joy before him. That's a Bible verse. What joy did he have? He had the joy that at the end of the cross, the people of God would receive faith and be forgiven. And so we live in a world where at times we don't feel that God loves us. But the strongest steel breaks, if kept too long under unrelieved tension. God knows exactly how much pressure each one of us can endure. He knows how long we can stay through the night. So he gives the soul relief. First by welcome glimpses of the morning star, and then by the fuller light that comes in the morning. Wherever you are right now, whatever the difficulties you're facing, the night will end. And through it all, he'll remind you in various ways that his light stands within you. Don't forget Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. That's the promise. And that's why worship is so important. Because in a worship service, you hear the promises of God through the liturgy, through the hymns, through the readings, through the sermon, and through the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. I'm Tom Baker. Join us Monday for a continued reflection on the distinctions between law and gospel. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.